I don't say I say not too many people can say salas are good in English, so I say salas.
No confusion.
A lot of people and even Hispanics, Latinos have problems saying it like that. So I just said salasad. You know what I'm saying?
It's interesting you say that, bro, because yesterday when I was doing the podcast, I heard it because I always listen to my stuff, you know, and who's the most critical critic? Oneself. ¿Tú me entiendes?
Absolutely.
Entonces, so I'm like, I said Salazar, and it almost sounded like a Z, and I'm like, coño. So that's exactly why, you know, Salazar el Tabaco.
Yeah, a lot of people call me Sal, you know.
How did that name start, bro?
It's my last name, papa.
So that's your last name. So from the beginning, you already understood the hustle that, hey, because I learned about branding recently.
Yeah.
You knew about this from the beginning. You're like, this is me.
It was kind of, to be honest with you, it was kind of like, I didn't want to go by an alias. You know what I mean? I wanted to be me, and then I wanted something that had something to do with the essence of Cuba, something that Cuba was known for, something that I like, something that has to do with my culture, you know what I'm saying, the way I was raised. And, you know, the Tabaquero was perfect. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm the one that came up with that. You know what I'm saying? And till this day, I use it, you know? Not as much when I'm in, like, you know, because, you know, I do both English and Spanish. But when I do English music and I'm around, like, English is sex, I don't really use the Tabaquero part. You know, I just sing Salazar. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. And you've been at this for a while. I mean, you were talking about mixtapes when we first talked. You were talking about mixtapes, and so I mean mixtapes. Yo me recuerdo vendiendo mixtapes that a buddy of mine was recording at the Apalaca Hialeah flea market, bro.
Yeah,
back in the day. So how long you been at it?
To be honest with you, man, I started like everybody else, bro. I started freestyling. You know, my friends would do it. You know, and I would watch them. And actually, my producer, like my in-house, the dude that's pretty much responsible for my career, he used to rap really good. And he was a great freestyle. Like, bro, that guy was kidding it, bro. And I was just like, damn, I want to be able to do that. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to do that. And I just started, bro. You know what I'm saying? I was really the last one to start in my neighborhood. Like, you know what I'm saying? A lot of dudes were looking at me like I was one to how. You know, but I stayed with it, bro. And one day I was at the right place at the right time. And so I was putting in the work already. You know, I was still kind of experimenting. You know what I mean? Because I started rapping in English. You know what I'm saying? I didn't rap in Spanish. That happened, you know, one day I was messing around and I wrote a Spanish verse and it came out really good. You know, and my boy was like, hey, that my producer, you know, he at the time, he had just gotten out of school. He was engineering for Trick Daddy, Rick Ross, Trina. So he was telling me, hey, concentrate on that for right now. And I listened to him, you know, and I kept at it. And my verses that I was writing was fire, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? They were really good. So eventually he was like, okay, it's time to get you in the studio. And he had all the plugs back then. You know, he really, you know, he trained me. He put me through the ranks and he told me, you really want to do this? And I told him, yeah. And he put in the time. You know what I'm saying? Next thing we know, Sony was knocking on the door for some of his production, because his production is, to this day, second to none. I love his, not because he's my best friend or anything, but he's awesome, bro. S.O.D. Boy in 5 minutes. We call him 5 Minute Fire. You know, in 5 minutes, literally, he'll have something for you to just go off on, and like something really good, something really quality. You know, his name is Los. He goes by 305 Los now. You know what I mean? But
that's his handle on what, on social media? Or?
Yeah, on IG, his handle is 305 Los. You know what I mean?
Los.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
LOS. It's L-O-S. Short for Carlos. It's short for Carlos.
So 305 Los.
And he's a Cuban American as well as me, you know, representing. No, man. One day Sony Latino came knocking on the door for some of his production. They were working on a Latin hip hop compilation album. And I was just there by fate. They weren't even, you know what I'm saying? And of course, when they came, he started showing them what we were working on. They really didn't know what to say. You know what I'm saying? They actually grabbed my music and took it back to the label. And then they were like, yo, what do you think about this kid? And the label was like, hey, you got to go sign this kid like right now. You know what I mean? And they just, you know, and that's how it happened. I didn't sign the record to Sony, though. I signed through him to a production deal. It was an audition deal. I did a compilation album with them and seven other artists from, you know, from different parts of the United States and like Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, New York. And we did an album. And, you know, after we did that album, I got released and then I started doing everything on my own. You know, I got with this independent record label for like probably like a year after called Strictly Business Records. I was with them for a little bit. And no, man, I started grinding on my own.
And that, and what year was that, bro?
The year that I got released?
No, no, the year that you started grinding like that.
Oh, by my, on my own and stuff?
Yeah.
I would say 2005.
2005.
Yeah, man, 2005.
Because, I mean, I'm sure, bro, there's going to be creatives and other people that perhaps want to do this. My first episode was on Action, and it was random, dude, just random stuff. I put the pressure on myself on a Sunday, and I said, I'm going to do this thing. I got to launch this podcast because I see the value in it. It's a long-term strategy. And I was like, man, let me start doing this because I'm going to be able to connect with people because nobody's coming to the Green Chair. So Las Crónicas of the Green Chair, I'm like, man, this is a really cool idea. It's random. It's rare to see something like this. But I knew that it would work in time, but nobody was coming. So I said, man, I'm going to do it on Action. So you took Action, and that was 2005. So we're talking about, 14 years. So for anybody who's out there listening, 14 years of grind.
On my own.
On your own.
Yeah. I started in 2000 and like literally in the music business, I would say 2002, 2003. That's when all that stuff started happening. You know what I mean? So I would say 2003. So I'll probably say 16 years in total, but on my own, 13 to 14 years.
There you go. 14 years of hard work and grinding. Now, you said you were born in Miami?
Yes, sir. I was born in Miami.
Miami. So you're a 305 boy, born and raised.
Yeah, man.
What high school did you go to, bro?
I went to Braddock for two semesters, and then I wasn't really exactly the best kid in the world, so I got sent to MacArthur, which is an opportunity school.
Yeah, no, I know all about MacArthur. Very few of us know about MacArthur.
Yeah, I got sent there. Then I did my 9 weeks. I got sent back. And then, bro, I got into a scuffle with a security guard. I ended up punching a security guard. I ended up punching a cop. And I ended up getting expelled from all Dade County Public Schools, period. The only school I could go to was MacArthur. That's it. So I went back to the MAC, and I stayed there, resident. Like, you know, I stayed there. And I played basketball for them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I didn't really play much.
You got into athletics?
Yeah. I had no choice, you know. I had to do something, you know what I'm saying? And no, I mean, I was okay, but the problem was back then in that school, every 9 weeks, you got a new set of bad kids coming in, bro. And it was just mayhem, bro. You know what I'm saying? So
I know all about it. I'm actually, this is not really a plug or nothing, just something that I'm really passionate about that I'm working on. I really believe that my first independent film is going to be specifically targeting the school system and the issues that are there. I mean, and I'm not blaming the school system. I mean, that's not what I want to do. I want to simply expose the problem. Let's stop bullshitting and let's get serious. And that's why I want to do that, you know?
No, absolutely. I hear you, man. I mean, I never graduated. You know what I'm saying? It's not something I'm really proud of or whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? But whatever. I never graduated. I ended up just, my old girl was just like, look, bro, they're either going to kill you or you're going to kill somebody. So I'm getting you out of here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Type shit. So I ended up, you know, being on the street, bro. And I've been on the street since I was 14 years old. That's the thing about me, bro. You know?
So how do you turn that in your head? Because obviously you're succeeding right now, in my opinion. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. And it's not like you arrived. We just met, but you know, when you meet somebody and you're like, dude, I know I'm going to know this guy for probably the rest of my life, you know? And like, I could identify with a lot of your struggles, whether it's empathy or whether it's, you know, my life experience or whatever, but you know, I totally understand. My two main focuses for doing everything that I'm doing is to kill two things, judgment and entitlement. So I'm not judging you, bro. I see the value of those hard lessons and how you turn that into a positive thing. And there's a lot of people out there that could probably get a lot of benefit. There's a lot of value to whoever the end consumer is listening to this podcast in the future, forever and ever, you know, because that's what's really cool about, you know, going on a podcast. So, you know, it's really cool, man, that you actually turned all that negative. And was music like your passion? That was your door? That was...
Well, to be honest with you, music really was my second dream, bro. You know what I'm saying? To not go on to learn about something. Bro, my first dream was to play baseball, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Baseball was your thing.
Yeah, like I was into sports. I played basketball, football, and baseball. You know what I'm saying? So basically, that was my first dream. My dad was a baseball player in Cuba. He was a Cuban national. He played for Los Industriales, which is a big, huge team in Cuba, in La Habana. You know what I mean? He was a third baseman. And he made the Nationals as a catcher. So when I was little, I was in Pampers on a baseball field with a glove and a bunch of these crazy, awesome players from Cuba trying to teach me how to do stuff.
So you were born in Cuba. Tú eres cubano.
No. I was born here.
You were born here.
Yeah. My parents came here in 1977, and I was born in 79, bro.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm just telling you, like, here, like that was my first
baseball
dream.
Baseball was it.
Yeah. But, you know, bro, the streets took over, bro. Like, music took over, yeah, when I was, like, 14, 15, like I wanted to play, but I like the love wasn't there, and I was there for music. And you're a kid, bro. You know what I'm saying? You're still finding yourself at that present moment. You know what I'm saying? And man, I just turned into music. Like from one moment to the other, I just turned into music. And bro, when I used to go to MacArthur, I used to battle all the African Americans, bro, all of them. Like every day, they would bring me a different one to battle them, because they were like, I was already living through music in high school. They knew me as a little chico that rapped. You know what
I'm
saying?
I'll tell you, back in those days, because I tell my kids now, and they look at me like I'm twisted. We had a. I'm Hialeah boy, bro, born and raised. So I went to Filer, and Filer back in them days, bro, there was a lot of, you know, you had the black. You had the black kids coming from the black community, from Seminola, from the projects. And with the Cubans, there was a lot of tension back then, bro. And our security guard, okay, this guy, bro, had pipes. If anybody went to Filer that's listening to this, I mean, we need comments, man. We need comments back. We need you to chime in, because I remember Joe, the security guard. This guy was cool. He was also the DJ. And during lunch, they would rally everybody up inside this cage. It was a caged area. And, bro, he was actually spinning, Bobby, spinning for lunch. And, bro, we were listening to the best beats, bro. And back then, DJing, breakdancing was I'm older than you. So breakdancing was kind of like a blast from the past, and it had evolved into house music. And then you had the Miami Bass Wars. I mean, it was just, bro, come on. I mean, that was so culture in Miami during those days. I could definitely see that grabbing your attention.
No, and let me explain. Another thing is, when I was really young, when I was about maybe 4 or 5 years old, I had my aunt. She had a boyfriend, which was this un Puerto Rican timbalero, un Boricua timbalero, which he played with Celia Cruz, Tito Puente here. He was retarded, bro. He was awesome. You know what I'm saying? That guy when he got with my aunt, he got with my aunt for a period like probably like 5 to 10 years. And bro, that dude would take me to $1 million studios and just have me see. I wasn't doing anything. I was too little, but I was watching people do music when I was 4 years old, like real music, like orquestas doing music when I was super young. You know what I'm saying? And never did I know that would transcend to now, because I make beats too now. You know what I'm saying? And that's why. And that's the major reason why. Because that guy would get me in a studio, like, and give me 2 drumsticks and tell me, go hit the drums. And I will hit the drums and I'll make beats when I was like 5, 6 years old. And these people would look at me like, bro, how does he do that? You know what I'm saying? I will make beats already, like already stuff that will make sense when I was little. You know, I stopped doing that because obviously he separated from my aunt, but that was my first musical influence was him. You know what I'm saying? His name was Eddie Bongo Torres. He came out on TV. Yeah, he was the best for me that I ever saw in front of my face. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, he was awesome. And he played with Celia Cruz. He played with Tito Puente. He played with the best of them, bro. You know what I'm saying? He was from the Bronx. He was from New York.
You know, we were talking about Electric Piquete, and we're going to talk a little bit more. You know, the people that are going to listen to this, because I can tell you, I never limit, you know, an interview, and we let it go until we let it go, and that's it. If it takes 3 hours, 3 hours. If it takes 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes. I don't look at that. But Electric Piquete, bro, Ed Rosado, the drummer, he's a good friend of mine. The same thing, man. It's he's like a historian, bro. I bet you he knows all about him. If you follow him on his personal, on his Facebook, I know he's on Facebook, and you can check out Electric Piquete as well on Facebook, on social. They're on
Twitter. Yeah, absolutely. I actually know the guitarist, Chris. He's a really good friend of mine from school, man. So shout out to them, man. God bless them, bro.
We're gonna be talking about something. We're gonna be talking about something pretty cool. So obviously your parents, both Cuban,
absolutely,
migrated to Miami in 1979.
No, 1977.
79, you're born.
Yes, sir.
And boom, there it is. We have the influence of the culture in Miami during those times, which was obviously music. Eddie Bongo Torres was your aunt's boyfriend, and that was your first influence to music. And you're there hustling, doing your stuff, learning as you go. Right now, what do you consider yourself? I mean, I hate labels, bro. So I have a hard time. I struggle with labels.
Bro, to be honest with you, man, I'm a musician, bro.
You're a musician. What do you do? I mean, I know you also have a record label.
Yeah, I do. I have a Salazar Music LLC. You know what I'm saying? It's not really a label. It's just my company. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I have a bunch of artists under my label. It's just me. Right. It's just a way to protect myself, like, you know.
But your music is your music. That's how I know we were talking about the other day when Billy Corbin approached you. Let's talk about that one, because that one's pretty interesting. Because I gotta respect your time as well, because I know you're gonna be going to check out a pretty cool movie. We gotta talk about that.
Oh, absolutely, man. Bro, shouts out to Billy Corbin, man, for reaching out to me, man.
How did that go down, bro? So you're doing your thing. Billy Corbin gets a hold of you. Go. I'm all ears.
Yeah, he hits me up. He tells me, hey, man, I really like this song. Do you own it? Is it okay if I can use it? It's like, you know, legalities. And I was like, nah, man, you can use it, you know? He told me, look, for right now, we're just going to do local film festivals in different states and stuff like that. You know, we're going to give you a little change, you know what I'm saying, for that. And if it blows up and we go national with it, then we'll go ahead and obviously talk again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then I built a relationship with him, you know. He told me, hey, man, I really like
when did all that. When did all that go down?
Yeah, recently, man. I would say maybe like 6 to 8 months ago, something like that. You know, he hit me up, and then after he did this first film called Screwball, which is the whole Biogenesis scandal with Alex Rodriguez and all that, which is great, actually. It's a very, very good film. It's awesome. He got one of my songs for that, and then right away he hit me up again. Yo, look, man, can you send me your catalog? And I sent him my catalog, and he picked out another song for the next film. So for me, it was a total blessing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just being a part of it is awesome. I'm actually going to go to the screen today at 4:30. There's going to be a Q&A. So, I mean, you know.
What's going down? Because I want people to hear it from other people as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's Tower Theater in Miami. It's going to be a screening. There was actually a screening yesterday at 7 o'clock. I actually couldn't make it to that one, but I'm going today. We're at 4:30, I believe, if I'm not wrong.
It's at 4 p.m.
4 p.m. There you go. It's at 4, and I think there's a Q&A afterwards. So
it's gonna be
dope. I'm gonna go. Actually, I gotta support. You know, those who support me, I'm actually a part of this. So how can I not go? You know what I mean? So I'm gonna go, and then show face, and hopefully I can make some connects and network with the best of them, man. You know how it goes.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, what I feature is passion and culture. So, I mean, there's definitely passion and culture in this conversation, big time. With Billy Corbin, I've been looking at his films too. Actually, Screwball, I purchased from iTunes. I had never done that, and I actually purchased my first movie, which was Screwball, on iTunes. It was $9.99. It was very easy. I even created some content and put it on my Instagram account. That's Llerena Media, LLERENA Media. And I put it on there. You'll also see on my personal account, Ajue Llerena, ASBEL Llerena, LLERENA. Same thing. But see, I learned from people like Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V on social. He's crushing it. He's like the social media dude, bro. And I've learned all my stuff really from him. But you had that intuition from way back, brother, Salazar. And you were like, Salazar is it, because we had the pronunciation issue, my culture, my influence. This is me. You had that intuition from way back in the days. You didn't learn nothing from Gary V. This was just intuition. You had it in you, bro.
Oh, thanks, man. The only thing about me is I just try to be original, man. I don't try to do what everybody else is doing. I've always tried to veer away from that. You know what I mean? It's very easy to go mimic someone, or it's very easy to follow in somebody's footsteps and stuff. Don't get me wrong. A lot of things get started like that because people gotta set and pave a way for somebody else to come and do the same. You know what I'm saying? I'm not hating on that. But no, what I'm saying is, in order to keep yourself relevant, you have to be original. You understand? You can't be following trends. You have to be setting them. And that's what I try to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that's what I'm doing. I would like to believe that my fans think that's what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? And believe that's what I'm doing, because I don't really like tooting my horn. I'm not about that. I just like making passionate music, like you cover passionate culture. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I mean, when I think about what you just said, is simply just deploying self-awareness, bro. If you're radically honest with yourself, and you talk to yourself continuously, and you're straight with yourself, and you're not living out fantasies, and you're not BSing yourself, you deploy self-awareness, you're always going to have influence. Like, I can't say that if I evolve into a film director, I don't know what I'm doing, bro. I'm having fun, bro. You know?
Yeah. That's,
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not an expert. But I can't say that, hey, Quentin Tarantino was never an influence. That would be bullshit.
Nah, bro, of course.
Because Quentin Tarantino is obviously an influence. Billy Corbin, Alfred Spellman, David Sipkin, Ron Contour Films. I mean, come on, bro. It's like Ron Contour, for sure it's an influence. I can't take that away. Pero, those influences are there. But then you find, obviously, that passion for you. It's become music, production. You had that intuition from the beginning. Hey, if you wouldn't have had your own company with your own label protecting your own music, Billy Corbin, I'm sure, wouldn't have been able to work with you.
Oh, no, absolutely.
That's a lot of creatives, bro. A lot of creatives that, along the way, musicians, photographers, videographers, podcasters, whatever. I know the culture in Miami is completely different, dude. Over there, you'll get stepped over by a film crew hustling in La Calle Ocho continuously.
Absolutely.
If you see a cat in a corner with a tripod, you capture everybody's attention.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's rare.
No, over here, everybody's doing something, so you have to protect yourself, bro.
And that's what this movie is all about, bro. this movie that you're going to go see, let's talk about that, Magic City Hustle, is all about the Miami Hustle, bro.
Oh, absolutely.
I saw the trailer, and there's one of the players. He's selling ice cream. He's selling CDs. This dude's hustling, bro. And then everybody was struggling from what I got from the trailer. Do we the trailer?
No, yeah, absolutely. That's awesome, bro.
The hustle, bro. The hustle is crazy. I mean, it's Magic City Hustle. You know what? This is a fun fact, too, and I said it on my podcast yesterday. Mi tía, she lives in Hialeah still, bro, in La 68 over there, bro. I got to give her a call. I got to give her a call as soon as I'm done with you, bro. I've been wrapped up yesterday. I said I'm going to hold myself accountable on the podcast because I need to call her. But she used to work, bro. She actually worked at the dog track on Northwest 36th Street. So before it was the Hialeah Magic City and casino that you see today, back in the day, it was the dogs, the greyhounds running around in circles and stuff.
Yeah.
She was the lady, bro. She worked there for 20-something years, bro, that nice. She actually cooked. So she was the una cocinera there. So any food that you ordered back in the days when it was Greyhound racetrack, that was you probably bought it from her. So she was there. And so I need to call her and find out everything she remembers, bro, about that and gather more information, because that's really going to tell another story, spinoff from Magic City Hustle. But tremenda película, bro. It's gonna come out. Like for me, I couldn't justify the expenditure to go drive down there, even though, bro, I would love to go. I could still make it at 4 to Miami.
Yeah,
I'm in Central Florida, so I could drive down there and be there in 4 hours. But I need to order myself a microphone, bro, and I'm really being very cautious with my money and strategic with my time, bro, because...
Bro, let me tell you, get Amazon Prime if you don't have it, bro. It's awesome.
Amazon.
It's worth it, bro. Let me tell you. You order bro, so then go to Amazon and put the mic that you need, and I guarantee you'll find it there, and you'll be in your house in one day. It's sick, bro. I'm telling you. You just and look for it, or if not, bro, if you can't buy it, at least you have an idea of which one you want. You know, you have a selection, and you know that whenever you order it on Amazon Prime, bro, it's gonna get there within a day or two. You know what I'm saying? And you can start grinding, bro. You know, and go to these screenings, bro. You know what I'm saying? To be honest with you, I wasn't able to go to a Screwball screening because I was under the weather for like about 2 or 3 weeks, and I was doing terrible, bro. Right. So I couldn't go. But this, I'm not going to miss this out, bro. This Magic City Hustle doc, man, this is awesome, you know. And this is actually, for me, awesome because I've always wanted to be a part of something like this, something that's Miami cultivated. You know what I'm saying? It's awesome. You know what I mean?
This movie, bro, and I've said it before and I'll keep saying it again, Screwball was so freaking Miami, it was ridiculous. This one here, I mean, coño también, I mean, Cocaine Cowboys, I mean, that's why, dude.
No, yeah, forget about it. This guy, that's why when he reached out to me, I was like, bro, what a blessing.
What a blessing.
You know what I mean?
And I'll tell you what, bro, I've been trying to get their attention. I know I've been talking to David Sipkin. He seems like an awesome dude. We've been going back and forth on IG through DM, and I'm seeking an internship. When you see Billy Corbin today, tell him, bro, that I tell him, bro, congratulations for the work, and that I am available Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays for an internship, dude, ASAP.
I got you, bro. I'll let him know.
Let him know. Let him know.
Yeah, I'll let him know, man, for sure, bro.
Before we go, I wanted to talk. I know that you have music. What's the best? I've listened to all your tracks, bro, in the last 2 to 3 nights.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
I love you. I've posted on my Instagram some of your music. I've been blasting. If you go to any city up here, definitely your music is there already. And if you look in like City of Miami, if you go to their IG accounts, your music is in there. So I've been really promoting some of your music because I believe in it, bro. I love your music. It's original. It's bien criollo to the culture, bro, you know, in Miami. And but how do people connect with your music? What's the best way? You tell them, dude. I mean,
oh, man. Any platform, SoundCloud, Reverb Nation, Facebook, YouTube. All you have to do is put Salazar 305. It's very easy. You know what I mean? For Instagram, it's Tabaquero 305, T-A-B-A-Q-U-E-R-O 305, as well as my Facebook artist page, which is Tabaquero 305 as well. You know what I mean? You can find me on any distribution, streaming platform. Just put Salazar El Tabaquero on the search engine and I'll pop right up. That's the best way to find me because there's no other Salazar El Tabaquero. You know what I mean? That's why that was another reason why I did that too as a business move, because you got to be smart, bro. You got to have people find you fast. So if you put Salazar on any Apple Music, Spotify, or anything like that, you're going to have a bunch of Salazars that are not me popping up. You know what I mean?
And you also have merch, no? Or no?
Yeah, absolutely. That's very, very quick. They call it Soy Trapero. You know what I'm saying? It's I started doing Spanish trap music. I've been doing Spanish trap music since like 2003. It just nobody knew what it was back then. Sure. And it blew up now. You know, so I got this brand called Soy Trapero. Please go check out that video on YouTube. I did a video to bring out the brand. I have shirts for women, tank tops for women, guys, snapbacks, all that type of stuff. If you go to the IG at Soy Trapero, the link to the store is actually in the bio.
It's in the bio.
Yeah, you can click in the bio and you can search. I got plenty of merchandise. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you follow me on all social media. You know what I mean? To stay up to date with everything that I'm doing. I'm going to be releasing a bunch of new music. hopefully within the next month or so. So, man, I'm always grinding. You know what I'm saying? I'm just right now trying to expand my horizons. I'm trying to get out of Miami and trying to expand my music, you know, as far as I can all over the world. Spanish is a universal language, so you know you gotta take the bull by the horns and branch out, bro. You know what I mean?
And not only Spanish, bro. There's really a third language, Las Crónicas of the Green Chair. I mean, yo no sé ningún como mierda. I mean, I did it in Spanglish for a reason. I could have called it the Chronicles of the
Green. That's Chair, another thing. I kind of
Spanglish, bro.
That's another thing about my music. You know what I'm saying? I kind of intertwine the Spanish with the English to kind of like. It's kind of my way of representing the first generation Cuban Americans and the Cubans that got here that actually speak English, because a lot of us talk like that. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like
very Miami.
Kind of like Manolo from Scarface. That's as pinpoint as I can give it to you. You know what I'm saying? So people, you know what I'm saying? That's the flavor, the culture, part of the, you know, the roots that I want to bring in my music. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad that you picked that up, bro, because that's exactly what I'm trying to do. You know, and before I go, I want you guys to go ahead and check out a video on my YouTube channel. It's called Mi Bandera. It's about Latinos in the U.S., pretty much, you know, explaining that we are the building block of this country. We've worked sweat, blood, tears, everything. We have ampollas en las manos from all the work we put in here. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of a message I put out there. It's not negative in any way or shape or form, you know, but it is just a song to, you know, recognize Latinos for what we are, you know, because, you know, we've had presidential candidates or presidents say bad things about us, you know what I'm saying, or inappropriate stuff, you know, and I'm not political in any way, shape, or form. I stay neutral, you know, and that's exactly what this song is. It's a neutral song that I think anybody of any age will understand and enjoy, you know, from a little five-year-old kid to your abuela. You know what I'm saying? Which is that's a type of music I like to make. You know what I'm saying? The demographic. I like to hit all demographics, not just the young people, but all the old people as well. Because I respect the old folks and I've learned a lot from the old folks. And of course, man. I will continue to keep learning from the old folks. And we got to, you know, they were here before us. And nowadays, like, the youth is a little crazy. So we all tend to forget that sometimes. So I kind of like to.
Which is the name of one of your albums, La Vieja Escuela, right?
Absolutely. There you go. You know what I'm saying? And that's exactly the meaning of it. That's what I represent. You know, like when I was with my dad, like young, 9, 10 years old, I would roam around with my dad, and my dad would have an 8-track. He didn't even have a tape or a CD. He had an 8-track. And bro, like we would listen to Cachao, Benny More, like all day.
Cuban stuff, bro.
All day, bro.
Bro, remember waking up on Sunday mornings? I know in Hialeah, that was every Sunday. Los Puntos Guajiro. Remember that, bro?
Yeah, and, absolutely. Oh, well, me, when I have my grandma. Yeah, when I have my grandma and bro living with me, bro, I mean, I'm pretty sure you know about this. At 5:30 in the morning, you will hear the little Cuban radio. Radio Mambi, B.
Yep.
Radio Celola, la hora. Yeah, bro. And then you would know that, yeah, grandma was getting up to make coffee for the rest of the house. Yeah, you already know you're in about an hour and a half. You have to get up to go to school. You know what I'm saying? Cuban stuff, bro. You know what I'm saying? And that's the essence that I want to represent in my music. That's who I am. You know, that's how I grew up. You know what I mean? And, man, it's positive. You know, we got too much negative stuff going on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't get me wrong. Yo no fui ningún santico when I was young, bro. You know what I'm saying? But that's here or there. You know, what I try to bring through my music, obviously, through my experiences in my life, you know, is culture and passionate at that. You know what I'm saying? Which is why we're having this conversation, bro. Right. And I want to give out a shout out to you for you believing in my music and doing all this. You know what I'm saying? All from one minute to the other. I really appreciate it, bro. You know, the love is there. If you need anything from me, you already know you got it. And yeah, man, I'm going to go check out this screening for Magic City Hustle at 4:00. I know it's going to be super, super bomb. And I know the Q&A is going to be even better, man.
For sure, bro. Listen, Dale, I don't want to keep you. I don't want to keep you anymore, bro. Thank you for your time. I'm looking at the timer here. It's 37 minutes and 35 seconds and counting. It's 10:29, and you got to be there at 4, bro, for the screening.
You got now, it, Papa.
This is in Calle Ocho, right?
Yeah. It was so cool. It's actually on A Street and 15th Avenue, which is the heart of Little Havana, bro, which is what better place to go have this at? You know what I mean?
So, oh, bro, that's it. These guys, Roncatour Films, they call them the 305 boys, which I love that. Hollywood would call them the 305 boys in a derogatory way. It wasn't like, oh, you know, shout out to the 305 boys. No. It was derogatory. Like, look at these punks.
Yeah, well, that's...
These punks at 15, from what I know, set up a business, and they saw that, hey, we're going to be exposing the truth, man. When you look at Twitter and Billy Corbin, everything that I'm doing on Twitter, I've learned from Billy Corbin, straight up.
Yeah, that's a good person.
The strategy and that's what. From there, I'm getting into politics. You have to, bro. As a matter of fact, we have one of the candidates that's running for county commissioner, District 5. Over here, where I'm at in St. Cloud, she's willing to go for an interview here this week. So I'll be featuring her as well. So you got to get into politics too. You have to. It's life, you know. But listen, I don't want to take too much more of your time, bro. I know you got to go hit this movie. Love you, love your passion, bro. Keep grinding, and we'll meet face to face soon, bro. And ya tú sabes.
You got it, man. Shout out to you, bro. If you need anything, you already know you got it. Remember, if y'all need to hit me up on social media, it's Salazar305. And then if it's IG, Tabaquero305. And at Soy Trapero and at Chico Mob. You can hit me up on all three. Soy Trapero is the brand of my clothes. Chico Mob is a brand new project I am working on. So get ready. There is a lot of stuff brewing in the mist. Thank you very much. God bless. You guys have a great Sunday, man.
Dale, Babo. Suave. We'll talk soon. Peace.
Dale, mi hermano. Te quiero. Dios te bendiga, mi mina. Dale, bro.
Dale. Thank you for listening to the Abel Llerena audio experience. You just heard from Salazar, El Tabaquero, one of the 32 musicians featured in Billy Corbin's and Alfred Spellman's latest film, Magic City Hustle.